Welcome back to the program. Tracy Morgan in with you with your extended news at noon. On the phone with me is the president of Indiana University. Now, we were kind of leading up to this today. As I was telling you earlier, we're going to talk about IUP's, I can say effort, but it's been approved. So their plan that they're going to go forward with in reducing tuition fees for in-student, for in-state students. So, Dr. Driscoll, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you joining me via phone.
It's my pleasure to be with you today, Tracy.
So this is going to be an interesting conversation because I know when people hear that you're reducing tuition, they think, what's the catch? You know, they're like, how does a business reduce their fee and still meet the budget? So explain that one to us first.
I sure will. I think the most important thing to note is that we're not a business in the sense that we make a profit at the end of the day. We're here to serve students of the Commonwealth, and our new strategic plan very clearly says that we're to be a student-centered university, and we know that families and students are struggling more with financing college and making sure they get that great education. So we're taking this step to do our jobs, which is to serve those students, provide them that great education. So it's not simple from the bottom line perspective, and we have to pay attention to that. But we're here for those students, and that's why we're taking these steps.
Now let's review this a little bit and remind the audience of what we're talking about. So this has been approved as of yesterday, and this is a proposal that reduces annual tuition for undergraduate in-state students effective for the fall of 2022. And then if you're going to take 15 credits, that would estimate to what, about 20% of a savings. If you're going to take more credits, of course, that would add up to even more of a savings. So that's the gist of this. Was there anything that came out of yesterday's meeting other than it got approved? You're moving forward.
Well, I think that the entire system has been thinking about how do we maintain our affordable prices for our students throughout the Commonwealth. And so there was a lot of good discussion among board members about being thankful that we're able to move in this direction. And I think we'll continue to see more. Certainly at IUP, we're not done with our approach to student affordability, and we have a working group that's going to look at our fees next, and we'll continue to look at those other groups of students besides just the in-state undergraduates as we go forward. It's part of what we've all been doing to make sure we're serving students over the last several years, providing more financial aid, discounts in various ways. We, since fall of 21, have given more than $2 million in housing scholarships to our students here at IUP, for example. And that's on top of having frozen our housing costs since 2016. So we're all very much in tune with keeping our great education affordable for students, taking lots of steps. But quite honestly, students and their families were saying it's still something we need to attend to even further. We're seeing more challenges with students paying their bills during the pandemic and things like that. And I think it's a major part of actually what's in Governor Wolf's budget request that's in front of the legislature now to increase the state's investment in the state's universities to make sure we can continue to be great education sources for Pennsylvanians and be at that reasonable price.
Before I get into some budget questions and enrollment and recruiting questions, did you have any kind of pushback or concern from the other state schools? Now, of course, we've been reporting that a couple of state schools have come together to be under one other name. You have not joined anyone else, so you are still IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
Correct.
Have you had any pushback from anywhere in the state, even from the eastern side of the state?
You know, actually, I'm pleased to say that we have not. We are moving in a direction together. This is all our goal. And so actually, colleagues have been very supportive of us moving in this direction. And I think it reflects that thing I mentioned at the start, that we're in this to serve students, and we're doing that together. It's why we're here. It's what we're about. I think we're all supportive of finding better ways to lower our prices for students.
How do you envision this affecting the entire system? Are you hoping that other schools may follow suit? Are they waiting to see if yours is successful? You know, how is this affecting, is this going to be a ripple effect throughout the state?
Yeah, I think that to be clear, what we're going with is really sort of the base model that the state system Board of Governors approves. And so we will follow that. But I know that others are considering different models that would diverge from that base model, just as we did a few years ago, which we're essentially reversing now to get to this lower price. I think this is going to continue to be a key topic of discussion in the days and weeks and months ahead. To be honest, we have to look at how far we can go with this within the funding that we have. And we're getting close to the end of how much lower we can move our tuition prices without some additional investment from the Commonwealth. And that's why we're pleased that the legislature is really talking seriously about Governor Wolf's proposal, because that'll help us continue to move in this direction. So short answer, yes, I think we're all going to continue to find ways to keep the cost down for our students. And we have a lot of work to do, and we're hoping that our citizens of the Commonwealth and our legislature will see that value and make those additional investments.
Dr. Driscoll, a 20% cut that we were mentioning earlier, in a sense of savings for a student, would affect your bottom line somewhere. Can you walk me through the math, if you will, of how you're able to offer the cut but still balance your budget?
Yeah, it's a great question. We've taken a lot of steps, some of them painful, over the last few years to make sure that our finances are in line with our enrollment. And this is an additional reduction in revenue. There's no question. It's almost $9 million is our projection if nothing else changes. For the next year, we certainly have the ability to fill some of that with some one-time funding that we can use flexibly. Some of that came from COVID recovery funds that we've been thankfully allocated. So we'll be able to proceed with that just fine. We also hope that we'll see some additional enrollment coming from this, quite honestly. As we change the price, more students will be able to afford an IEP education. And so as we look at the out years, we are hopeful that we'll start to see the books come into balance because more students will be able to be here taking advantage of the opportunities we provide.
Well, do you have any concerns about offering this 20% cut when at the same time we're talking about inflation at a 40-year high? And with most economists agreeing that this is a pretty high inflation and it looks like it's going to be here for a while, and at the same time you want students to be able to afford this, is there any concern with those two things matching up?
Well, I think that all of us who, whether it's our own personal bills or business bills, are starting to see the impact of some of those increases in pricing for various things. That inflation will continue. We're going to do our best to keep the cost of the student down. Again, that's what we're about. But we do have to be very careful with our pennies, just as I think most of us have to at home, and looking at that for the future. So we'll continue to pay careful attention to where we're spending our money and where we can continue to trim back. And I think we'll continue to see some work going on. We have a couple of buildings that are older that will be demolished, and that'll save us some money and so on. So it's something we look at every day to make sure that we can balance that. And yes, the current financial climate is a key part of our thinking. But again, first and foremost, it's about students and getting them here in an affordable way.
And I want to ask you about recruitment here in just a moment. One more question, though, about the budget. Because when a college or university has excessive tuition or fees paid by former students, that would go into a reserve fund. I assume that Indiana University has a reserve fund. Do you have any concerns from alumni, any pushback there that maybe some of their money is going to be used for this? Or do you have any concerns for students down the road that are wondering, how long is this going to be successful? Am I going to be able to partake in this?
You know, I have only heard good things from alumni so far. And I have to say that our alumni are incredibly generous. Just in the year ago, we wrapped up the largest fundraising campaign that we've ever completed here at IUP, Imagine Unlimited, which generated over $81 million in donations, primarily from our alum. And we are continuing to talk with them, and they're continuing to be generous. And the primary thing they care about is giving support for students today so that those new students can see and experience the great IEP time, the benefits of the IEP education that the alumni had. So I think we're going to find that they're very much in favor of this and will continue to support us trying to be affordable and supported for our students of the future.
Dr. Michael Driscoll is with us, the IUP president, Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and we're talking about their plan to make IUP even more affordable for students and families. And we're talking about this 20% discount if you're in the state, and if you're taking 15 credits, and of course that would accumulate to something different if you're taking more credits than that. But it's a saving. It's basically lowering your tuition if you decide to go to IUP. So Dr. Driscoll, the conversation of the number of students enrolling in higher education, the lowering number of students enrolling in higher education, is not a new one. And so I'm wondering, when you make this move to lower tuition, let's start here. How many students do you find come from Pennsylvania? I know you have out-of-state students as well. Is that the majority of students at IUP?
By far the majority. While we have a large international student population, as well as students from other states, we're talking around 90% of our undergraduate students are from the Commonwealth. And they come from across the state, not just from next door, but the largest percentage of those in-state students are within 10, 15 counties right around Indiana. So that's our primary audience, and that's why we started there with these reductions in cost, because those are our key students for sure.
So even though those are your key students, there's still the issue on the table of the lowering number of students, generally speaking, enrolling in higher education. How do you expect to pull in more students? Is it about the attraction of lower tuition? Because if you have fewer and fewer students that are enrolling in any college or university, it seems like you have a smaller pool of people to try to entice to IUP.
I think that's absolutely true, and we've certainly experienced some enrollment declines as the number of potential new college students has reduced. Just the number of folks coming through high school and going out into the world has gone down, and it's projected to continue to go down. So we want to, of course, convince more of those students to come to college and to come to IUP. The studies continue to show that going through and getting a baccalaureate degree pays off for your entire life, just financially as an individual, and significantly so. And we think it's a great return on the investment of a family's money and the student's time. We will continue to do outreach to all of the students in the region to try to continue to get them to come here. I do think that in that declining number of individuals in the Commonwealth, we do need to think about our future and continue to refine our program mix and the kind of academic programs we offer. And we really have gone through a very significant restructuring at IUP that we've called IUP Next Gen, which has reconfigured many of our academic programs and departments to focus in major part on the sort of academic programs that students want and need, and those programs that will prepare students to go out into the workforce and be great workers, great employees, have great careers, but also be great citizens. So we've focused around health and mental health. We've focused around business. We've focused around a number of the science, technology, engineering, math disciplines, really taking care of those key areas that we know the Commonwealth, the world will need more experts in the future. And we're going to continue to look at that, but we haven't given up on working across disciplines, educating our students to be good generalists, because we know their lives will change, their careers will change many times during their lives. And we're maintaining a strong central general education core, because that's where you learn how to interact with people and expand your thinking, be sensitive, and so on. So it really comes down to making sure that what we're offering is what students need and what students want and what the world needs and what the world wants. And that's something I think all universities are going to have to continue to attend to on a regular basis, just as we're doing here at IUP.
When you reconfigure these programs, are you talking about consolidation or a reduction in programs? Or is it just a shift in thinking, as you just mentioned, trying to identify what is the current need?
I think it's a combination of all of those. We have started to reduce, eliminate, streamline some of our academic programs where the demand hasn't been there and so on. But we've also done some really nice things by moving departments together in new configurations to allow faculty to think creatively about the synergy between their separate areas. And they'll start developing new programs. So it's not about do we have more or fewer programs. It's really about do we have the right number of the right programs. So I expect we'll continue to have programs go away, and we'll continue to have new programs or reconfigured programs come forward in the future.
Two more questions for you, Dr. Driscoll. Going back to recruiting for just a moment and actually bringing in the budget at the same time, will your recruiting efforts intensify at all because of this new plan to reduce tuition? And if you were to market even more to students or have a different plan in marketing, doesn't that increase the marketing budget, you know, or is that already built into the budget to be able to do that?
There's certainly some funding that we are already spending on marketing. It's significant, and we are redirecting and adding a little bit to that in the rollout of this new plan right now. And I hope that everyone will see and hear some more of those things in the near future if they're not seeing and hearing them already. When we look at marketing expense, we're very careful to think about what's the potential return. How many students are we going to reach? And how does that balance the overall bottom line? That's sort of the inside baseball of managing the business, if you will. If we spend this much on advertising, how many more students are we likely to see? And how does that affect our tuition revenue and hence our expenses can be covered? It's something we think about all the time. Advertising's an imprecise science. Recruiting's an imprecise science. So there's always some noise in those discussions, but it's something we pay careful attention to, certainly.
Last thought I want to bring up, which I'll just give you my follow-up questions, because the overall question is, what if this doesn't succeed? So first of all, how long are you going to give it before you gauge its success? And second question is, do you have a follow-up plan in case this does not succeed?
Well, I think we're on this path for the foreseeable future at this point. I really think that the additional work that we'll be doing is where else can we make some changes in our cost structure and how we charge things to students while we advocate for additional investment from the Commonwealth. I'm not at the point right now that I would say we have a plan B, because this is our plan based on what our students need today. We listen to our students all the time and think about what's best for them and for the institution's high-quality programs, and we'll continue to pay attention to that every day. But I don't have a plan B, because we're really pretty much all in on this and the steps that will follow.
And you know what? I want to ask you how students get in touch with IUP to go through this whole entire process. That makes me think of something else. Incoming individuals could talk through this process from its beginning. Current students, will that tuition reduce for them if they're a sophomore, a junior, going into their senior year, and they hit next fall, will their tuition automatically reduce?
Absolutely, yes. This applies to all of our undergraduate students who are residents of Pennsylvania, whether they're starting for the first time this fall or they're continuing to finish their degree. Absolutely the case.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you so much. I'm sure a lot of folks are going to have more questions than we have time to answer today. So I guess the best advice is get in touch with IUP, and you have fantastic people there to walk through individuals, students, family members, moms and dads on how this process will go. Any final thoughts you want to share with us today, Dr. Driscoll?
Well, absolutely, that's the best question. I'll just mention the www.iup.edu is a great place to start, and connect with somebody and come and see us would be the next thing to do. It's a beautiful campus with incredible people. So I hope we'll see a lot more potential students wandering by in the months ahead. And I do appreciate the chance to spend a little time with you today so we can talk about the importance of providing great education at a reasonable price for Pennsylvania students.
And I thank you for all that you've been doing, because I was a college student way back when, and prices are a challenge for some families. So congratulations on getting this passed and getting it through and making college more affordable.
Thank you, Tracy.
Dr. Michael Driscoll, IUP President, Indiana University of Pennsylvania. All right, so folks, we are out of time for today, but what we are going to do is go ahead and post this interview on our website. All of our interviews for Extended News at Noon you can find on our website. So what you would do is you go WISR680.com, you're going to pick Programs, and then Extended News at Noon, and you're going to find our conversation with Dr. Driscoll with IUP right there. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm Tracy Morgan with Butler Radio.